Okay, so a couple of Rashi's in Parshas Naso, the largest parsha in the Torah, 176 psukim. Those of you who don't already know, because of that number, 176 psukim, and the similar length of the largest perek in Tehillim, which is perek Kuf Yud Tes, which also has 176 psukim. So Bava Basra has 176 blot. Of course, that's something which is man-made. It could have more or less blot, depending on how you space it. So it's not like Chazal wrote 176 blot. But when the Vilna Shas was put together, so they decided, let's keep continuity and make Bava Basra as long as Parshas Naso, and as long as the largest Parsha in Tehillim. It also helps that on Bava Basra, as opposed to Rashi, you have the parish of the Rashbam, his grandson, because Rashi passed away in the middle of his parish on the third parak. So the Rashbam is much more verbose than Rashi. So much of the pages in Bava Basra are dominated by the Rashbam. There are very few lines of the Gemara, and most of it is the Rashbam. Had Rashi lived to write the parish in Bava Basra, you could not have made Bava Basra 176 pages. There just wouldn't be enough lines of Gemara. The largest parak, the largest Masecht in Shas, in terms of the amount of words of Shabbos, common misconception, not Bava Basra, but Bava Basra is spaced. Anyway, in the early part of Parshas Naso, before we get to the lengthy part of the Nesiim, there's a juxtaposition between the Parsha of an Isha Sota, a woman who betrays her husband, who commits adultery, or at least is accused of committing adultery, and the Nazir. So in a very famous, Rashi's always asking, why are two parshios juxtaposed, especially when they're juxtaposed out of context? You have certain parshios, like Parshas Ki Tetzeh, where everything is an unnatural juxtaposition. One halach after another halach after another halach, and nothing really makes sense, so to speak, in terms of how they're aligned. But here, much of Parshas Sefer Bamidbar is a narrative, and there are very few sections that are halachic. Most of it is stories, how they camped, and how the Nesiim brought their various korbanos, and Meretz Hashem next week is Baaloscha. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the narrative, in the story, you've got these two halachic sections inserted side by side, so it stands out. So why are these two halachic sections juxtaposed? Lama nismacha parshas nazir la parshas sota.
This is also the beginning of Maseches Nazir.
Okay, very famous. Lama lecha shakol haroes sota bikulkula yazir atzma min hayayin shumevi ledei niof. Essentially, the nazir makes his decision to avoid wine because he looks at the Isha Sota. He looks at the previous Parsha. He sees the fragility of the human condition, how intoxicating wine can be, how women can be led astray, and therefore he wants to become a Nazir. And I actually spoke about this a week ago in Melbourne. Nazir is a metaphor. No one here is going to be a Nazir. In our day, no one really becomes a Nazir. But it's a metaphor for Chumrah. One of the roles of a Chumrah is if you feel there's a vulnerability, so a Chumrah is a good opportunity to protect against that vulnerability. Chazal's word for Chumrah is the word Siag. Asu Siag Latara. Siag means a wall. Suga Bashoshanim is a wall to protect the roses. So Chumrah has many different very positive utilities, but also some very negative expressions if Chumrah is overused or misapplied. But the most basic form and function of a Chumrah is if you feel there's a particular vulnerability, so you want to take a Chumrah. It could be an institutionalized Chumrah. So for example, Shabbos has Muktzah, which is Chumrah that Chazal tried to build around Shabbos. If you carry too many items, you'll be over on Shabbos. So carry as few items as possible, only what's absolutely necessary. The world of human relationships, male and female, is heavily, heavily guarded by Chumrah. That's why the laws of Nida, based in part on this direct reading of Rashi. So Nazir is responding to the vulnerability he senses in the woman who's a Sota. It becomes a Nazir, but think of Nazir as a metaphor for a Chumrah in general. Now, in the processing of the woman, she brings various korbanos, or not korbanos, but she drinks the water, and the Torah talks about where she drinks the water from. So we're turning a little bit back into the Parsha of the Nazir. I'm sorry, right, before the Sota, we're talking about the woman who's a Sota, excuse me. Pasuk Yud Zayin, she drinks Mayim Kedoshim, the Meham Arim has to be of holy water. What does it mean, holy water? So, for example, in a paraduma, which we're not talking about in Parshas Naso, we'll talk about a little bit in Shir today, there the water really has to be in a kli shares. And a kli shares gives the water holiness, or a special type of a kli. Mayim chayim el keli. Here, what makes the water holy? Not really kli shares, but a separate type of a kli. Here, what makes the water holy? So Rashi senses that. It's regular water. Rashi says, use the water, shekitchu b'kiar. You take the water that flowed through the kiar. Why, of all the water sources for this testing water that will test the woman's fidelity to her husband, why was the water from the kiar chosen? So Rashi at least senses because the kiar was made from copper. But more important than copper, who donated the copper for the kiar? Anyone remember the pasuk in Vayakhel?
The women.
How does the Torah refer to the women who donated the copper for the kiar? Maros Hatzavos. In those days, copper was used as a mirror. They didn't know how to glaze glass, so the way they would use a mirror is that they'd buff copper, and it would reflect imagery. So the Torah in Parshas Vayakol says the armies donated their maros, their mirrors, maros hatzelvos. Why were the women who donated the mirrors called armies, the mirrors of the armies? So very famous Rashi in Parshas Vayakol, because these were the women who in Mitzrayim used the mirrors to maintain their physical appearance, maintain the attraction of their husband, maintain family life, and even though the entire country and nation was dispirited by labor and bondage, they still had normal family life, they still had children, based on the Pasuk in Shemot Shirim, I visited you under the apple tree, which Chazal referred to an apple tree where men and women used to rendezvous to maintain normal family life despite the Egyptian supervision, and they gave birth to armies and armies of Jews who were leaving Mitzrayim, all those armies. So the women were called the leaders of the army, and they gave their mirrors to the Nechoshet of the Kiyar. And Rashi says in Parshas Vayakel that Moshe initially didn't want to accept these mirrors because they were the tools of the Yetzirah, because they were used by women for vanity. And Hashem said, Chas v'shalom, chaviv en alai min hakol. These mirrors are more valuable than anything. And the message is, of course, that sexuality is not treif, it's not something ugly, it's not something that Chas v'shalom is unholy. In the right context, in marriage, to build family and to build a relationship with another person, it's beautiful, and it should be used not just in the Mishkan, but in the Kiyor, which is a kli for Tahara. Not just in some side part of the Mishkan. It's not just that it's kosher, it's tar. The Kiyor is mitar a person when you walk into the Mishkan. So the Nechoshes of the Maros Hatzelvos, Hashem is telling Moshe, human sexuality, human sexuality is not treif. Human sexuality is not treif. It's tar, and it could give tara to someone. And this woman, by rerouting her sexual encounters with a person she's not married to, has violated that context, so her water has to come from the kiyor. Then the water has to be placed into a kli cheres, not just any kli, but to an earthenware, a pottery kli. Why a kli cheres? Very strange. But to pick any kli.
It's not very
So Rashi says exactly, it's not just, it's not very beautiful, it's ugly, it's earthenware, it's pottery, not the fancy earthenware we have today, but it's just, it's like really ugly, like you see that they dig up from archaeological digs. So what? What? Right. So he hishkisas and now avyayin mishubach bekosas mishubachim. She evidently offered her co-adulterer wine in very, very attractive and elegant cups. Mefikach tishtem mayim hamarim. She should drink in an ugly bimakeda bezuya shalcheres. Now, between you and me, I'm sure there are some adulterers and adulteresses who get to it through wine and intoxication and beautiful cups of wine. But there are others who never drink wine out of beautiful cups. So all of a sudden, you're going to be guaranteed that every woman who's a sota gave her adulterer wine in a beautiful cup, and therefore she should drink from an ugly flask? What Rashi is touching on here is something a little bit deeper. It's a metaphor. She either gave her adulterer wine in a beautiful clasp, or put on makeup in a way that created fantasy, or wore a dress, or went to a remote location, or something. Many times, often, our sins are baited and are enabled by fantasy. We create a world that doesn't exist, and we're attracted to the glitter, and we're attracted to, because our worlds are very boring, and we're looking for an escape. So today, for example, that would be the common equivalent of Photoshop celebrities. All these people that you see on television and movies and on the internet that look so amazing and fantastic and glittery, and if you saw them in real life, they would look just like you and me. I would look better than them, Stacey. Just like you and me. But all of a sudden, you Photoshop them, put on some makeup, glitter, they appear in some smoke and mirrors, and they appear to be something they're not. So much of our chatoyim is entering a world that's unreal, because we're looking to escape the boredom and the stress and the difficulty of our real world. We have to be careful not to get drawn, especially in an age in which our eyes are attracted to so much, after things which aren't real. Almost as if I can understand the real chait better than I can understand a fantasy chait. I can understand both. Real chait, people have suffering, people struggle. So, okay, you really have a need for a cheeseburger. You really have a taiva to eat basa b'chalav, or you really have a taiva to eat milk. Okay, so it's a... But so many of our chatayim are fantasy-driven. And certainly, most of adultery is fantasy-driven, metaphorically through cups that are beautiful. So by bringing it, making it real, basically a kli cheres is a non-photoshopped cup. It's a cup without any makeup. No gold, no silver, nothing ornamental, no jewels. Take a regular cup and remember, in real life, it's about regular people and not about all this fantasy that led people to chait. So it's a metaphor. I'll just end with a nice Rashi, a Rashi about the induction of the Mishkan, So there's a word that's used, Vayhi biyom kalos Moshe lehakimis ha-mishkan, the day that Moshe finished to construct the Mishkan. So Chazal already sensed in the word kalos, and Rashi cites Chazal, that kalos sounds like the word kala. So Rashi says, kalos Moshe, kalos ksiv, yom hakamas ha-mishkan hayu Yisrael kechala ha-nechneses lachupa. The final day the Mishkan was built, it was a marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Keep in mind, the same word is employed in Parshas Ki Tisa, Vayitein El Moshe Kechaloso L'daberito. When Hashem finishes speaking, telling Moshe the Torah, he gives him the Torah. Chazal Der Darshan, very apropos to last night's Siyum, that Hashem gave Moshe 24 books of Tanakh, like Eikala, who has 24 jewels. I actually made a Siyum of Tanakh in the shul in Melbourne, the end of Yontos. I quoted this medrash of 24 jewels. I asked people if they could tell me what was the nicest jewel of all the jewelry. So they didn't want to say anything because that sounds like a radical question. But I talked about Shir HaShirim because Chazal say that's Kodesh Kodeshim as being the nicest, so to speak, of all the Svarim of Tanakh. So keep in mind that there are two times that we are referred to as marrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is under Har Sinai. Har Sinai was a chuppah. Two is the Mishkan. Different types of marriage. Har Sinai is more of a intense romance. The Mishkan is more of a home. We live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu day by day, the different parts of marriage, different parts of the experience. But when we read Vayi Biyom Kalos Moshe Lakimis HaMishkan, I'll just quote one other Rashi because I want to make sure you hear this Rashi. Of course, Moshe didn't build the Mishkan. Bezalel Aholiyav built the Mishkan. So the next Rashi says, why does it say Biyom Kalos Moshe Lafi Shemasar Nafsho Alav Liros Kol Tavnis Davar V'Davar? Moshe was Moser Nefesh. Every project always needs one person who's most in efforts for the project. In modern Hebrew, it's called Meshugal Adavar. He's the one that takes it. There are many people who always will be happy, I'll do this task, I'll do that task, I'll take care of this. But for any major project to get done, there has to be one person that shoulders the overarching, it's called another phrase in Hebrew, Rosh Gadol, the person who doesn't mind going to the mat and saying, I'm going to be the one, the buck's going to stop here. I'm going to be the one everyone comes to. You have to learn how to be that person when projects of importance come up. Because very often people take a pass, I'll be happy to do this, I don't have time to be the overall supervisor. Ask someone who's busy, they have endless time. It's very important, especially in construction. Whenever I'm doing construction now in my house, so there's got to be one person that has it on his mind all the time, and that's always working things out. Moshe is the one who's most in effort. Bezalel makes this clay, or Leo makes that, contacts this engineer, goes to the Home Depot, goes to the lumber yard, goes to the... But Moshe is Moshe Nefesh, and therefore he's referred to as Vahibiyam Kalas Moshe. So we're talking about five Rashis. Number one, juxtaposition of Nazir and Selta, and the Chumrah, which is metaphorized, or the metaphor of Nazir. Number two, we spoke about the Selta drinking from the Kiyar, because sexuality is not treif, but she perverted it. Number three, shattering fantasy, drinking the water out of a simple earthenware flask. Number four, it's a Chuppah, Vahibiyam Kalas Moshe, it's a Kala Nechneses L'Chuppah. Number five, Moshe was Moser Nefesh, therefore it's referred to as his project, even though others are more were involved in the technicalities. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Regards from your parents.
Thanks.